So we are continuing our series on the Island of Misfit Toys. And so my wife got me this shirt of the Abominable Snowman, and it says, "We're all misfits." Because we are. Just embrace it. Just love it, because that's what we are. Nobody actually completely fits in anywhere, so don't feel bad. Be proud that you're a misfit, right? So we've been talking about how God kind of views us and how we are misfits in the world that we're in. And today I'm going to talk about the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this will be a very familiar scripture because we talked about it last week. Okay, so you should know this scripture. It should be familiar. It shouldn't be something I'm saying that you have no idea that you've never heard before. So I'm going to read the scripture, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to get into it, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 6 through 10. "For if I want to boast, I wouldn't be a fool because I would be telling the truth. But I will spare you so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" God, we thank you for everything. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this building that we have to be here. We thank you that we can gather together. We thank you that when you see us, our weaknesses don't drive you away. God, I thank you that your strength is what fuels us to do everything we need to do and what we're called to do. I pray that today you would open up hearts and minds to hear what you would have said today. I pray that I would be able to articulate it the best that I can, and that I would get out of the way, and what is said today would be what you want. In your name, amen. So I'm going to break this down a little bit. And I'm going to talk about two things that I believe Paul understood from this chunk of scripture. And these are they're two important things. First, Paul understood that Christ's power flowing through him enabled him to live the life he was called to live. It was not just all the accolades and things that Paul himself had accumulated or been able to do. It was Christ's power through him that enabled him to do everything that he was called to do. And understand that when I'm operating out of my own flesh, my own righteousness is like filthy rags. Like, the best that I can do by myself is like offer God a poopy diaper and be proud of it, right? But that's the best that I can do. Like, I'm not going to say it. Look it up in Isaiah. It'll tell you the translation of what it actually means. I'm just not going to say it from the pulpit. It's disgusting. But the best that I can do is still trash, because I need his power flowing through me. I can't do it on my own. Paul understood that he cannot do this on his own. Me operating in my own flesh will always lead to brokenness. I cannot operate in a life-giving manner if I do not have the life-giver moving through me. Okay, that's significant and that's important because Paul understood this. Paul's telling us that we can't do life without God. We can't do any meaningful life without God. And there are times where we feel weak, we feel unable to accomplish the call that God has put in our lives. And those are the moments it's in fact a blessing. Because whenever God shares with us what he's calling us to do, and we look at it and we're like, man, this is this huge thing. I don't think I can do that. And God's like, yeah, you kind of need to realize that. Because with me working through you, we can do this. God didn't give you a task and then send you out on your own and is like, okay, in a month, come back to me, tell me how it went, and I hope it went well. No, he calls you and equips you and he goes with you to do what he's calling you to do. So any of our weaknesses are a very humbling reminder that it's God's power that accomplishes anything worthwhile, not my power. The only thing that I have the power to do is submit to his power. And that's important. When I understand the fact that my weaknesses are in fact the way that God wants to perfect his strength in me, I will begin to view my weaknesses differently. Instead of trying to hide my weaknesses and only stand on my strengths and only present the strong side of myself, I will begin to look at the weak side of me and say, hey, that's a grace of God that he's showing me that weakness because he wants to strengthen that with his strength, not my strength. So instead of me going, ooh, I don't like that weakness, we're just going to hide it and never use that. And instead of me saying, well, I'm just going to focus and just focus on this weakness and I'm just going to hit this weakness over and over and over and over and I'm going to make it strong. We can't. Because only the strength of Christ is what's going to give us the strength to do what we're called to do. Because again, on my own, poopy diapers, right? I don't want to work super hard to make poopy diapers. I don't. I've watched my son do that, and it's like, it's not worth it. Just be real, right? I will begin to see things differently. I'll begin to pray about my weaknesses differently. Whenever I come up against a weakness or a problem or an issue, instead of saying, Lord, take it away. Just make it go away. Just make this easier for me, please. That'd be like me getting into the gym, getting under the bar, and I'm gonna bench, and I got weights on the bar, and I'm just like, Lord, please make the weight disappear. And then I bench the bar, and I'm like, man, I'm getting strong. It's like, no, you're not. Don't pray the weight away. Pray for strength to lift the weight, right? Because that's what it's there for. That's what happened with Paul. Paul said, I pleaded with God 3 times to take this away. And what did God tell him? He said, look, my grace is sufficient because my power is made perfect in your weakness. He's saying there's some growth that needs to happen. And there's some things that you need to kind of move and do when I tell you to do, and then strength will come. He said, I'm not just going to take all the pain away. Whenever you're doing anything worthwhile physically, or you're trying to build something, you're trying to create something, anytime a hardship comes up, that's not a sign for you to say, well, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to give up. Like, again, like if I go to the gym and I'm trying to bench 315 pounds and I can't do it, I don't go, well, I can't go to the gym anymore. I'm done. Like, I just failed at gym and it's gone forever and I can never lift weights again in my life because I failed. No. We go back and work through that hardness, work through the strength that I need with somebody that's training me to get me where I need to go. I have to have God telling me what to do, when to do it, and then I begin to gain strength, not because it was my own, but it was because of his guidance, his instruction, his scripture, working through me, telling me what I need to do. Paul understood these things. My weaknesses remind me of my finiteness and his infiniteness. And that's important. We have to hold these things in tandem all the time. It allows me to remember that all of God's strength through me enables me to do what he's called me to do. My weakness, your weakness, screams for the need of something stronger than us. And I want to tell you some good news. There's somebody, and he's not hiding. Right? It's not a game where he's like, oh, can you catch me? No. Like, there is a higher, ultimate power. His name is God, and he is looking for you, and he wants you. And he wants to make his strength perfected in your weaknesses. And he's calling you. This is the other thing that's really important that Paul knew. Paul understood his value and worth were not dependent on his strength and his weaknesses. So not only were his weaknesses God's strength perfected in him, he understood the weaknesses don't define me. I am not devalued or discredited because of this weakness in front of me. Now, We do have an enemy in a world that will tell you your weaknesses will devalue you, your weaknesses make you less than, and you will not amount to anything. If you are weak, you are not welcome. And the world wants you to think that a lot, that you're not good enough to do this, you just need to go home, give up, stop. Or you need to hide it better, and then people look at you differently. No, your value is not derived from your strengths or your weaknesses. Your value is derived from the Creator that made you. Paul understood this. He said, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses everywhere that I'm going because it's the power of Christ through me. It doesn't discredit me. It doesn't make me less than. In fact, it shows you that God can use anybody, that God wants to use everybody. And your weaknesses don't discredit you. Your weaknesses are, in fact, opportunities for you to allow God to work through you in areas. So our value is based on our Creator. And not only did God take the time to create us and knit us together in our mother's wombs. This is what in Psalms 139 it says, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous and I know this well. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of us for us to do. We were created for a purpose. Our Creator made us. He invested things in us. He knit us together. He put the passions and the desires in you. He gave you the traits that you have. He invested all of this, and he said, I know what time and space I'm going to put them in for the purpose that they're going to be here, and I'm going to call them. And then above and beyond that, when sin came in and broke us and separated us from Christ, he said, no, you're still too valuable to let you go. I'm now going to also pay something even higher for you. I'm going to buy you back again. And the value he placed on us was what he was willing to pay for us. So your value is tied to what he paid for you. Do not ever forget that. He sent his son to die for you. That's the value he places on you. A part of himself came down and said, I'm going to step out of eternity and I'm going to enter time and space in a little town in a manger with some people that never would have thought to have been the people that were going to bring in the Son of God. And he was going to show us that even in the small things, God works powerful things. Even in the weakest of people that we could have imagined, he said, that's who I'm going to use. And that is not just a one-off thing. He has done it time and time again in Scripture. He's done it time and time again throughout history. He said, I'm going to use the people willing to be used. I'm going to use the people that understand that it's me working through them. And that will be strong enough to yield to me and say, here's my weaknesses. This is all that I have. And when you say, look, God, this is all I got. This is my heart. This is everything. He says, that's all I want. You don't have to try harder to give me more and more and more. Just give me you. That's what I want. That's what I paid for. I know your value. I know who you are. I know what I've called you to do. Our value is set because of him. The enemy wants us to see our weaknesses as a hindrance to our value. But God wants us to see how he values us by using our weakness to perfect his strength. The fact that he is constantly willing to still use us should also remind you of your value to him. If he did not care about you, he would not want to use you. But the Creator of the universe actively wants to use you every day. Every day. And even in the moments where I don't have time for this, God, he's like, okay, tomorrow. The next day? The next day? And he continues to give us these opportunities. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but time will come to an end eventually. and the opportunities will stop. The opportunities for him to bring heaven to earth through us are going to start to limit. Don't forsake these opportunities. Not because it makes you feel better, but because it's an opportunity for you to better know God. Because every time he works through me, he reveals a new part of himself to me. And every time he works through me, he reminds me that this was him and not me. Because when he is operating in my weaknesses, then I know I did none of that. All I did was obey. Because we have a tendency when I'm operating in my own strength is I take the glory and I say, well, that's mine. Like, God, I get it, right? I'm doing great stuff. So I need the attaboy, the pat on the back, like, this is mine. But when it's like, I have no idea how that happened. It just happened. I opened my mouth and God did what he did and it's every bit of him. The weaknesses point to him more than if I'm operating in my own strength. Because then the enemy likes to come in and say, you know, you're just really good at that. You should take some of the credit for that. Don't ever take the credit that belongs to God. Don't belittle that in any way. The Island of Misfit Toys were filled with a bunch of toys that were unwanted, felt unloved, felt unusable. And we can feel that way a lot of times, especially when we're thinking about our weaknesses. Especially when we're hearing the insults and we're seeing the stuff in front of us that we're like, I don't know how I'm getting through that. And it gets really, really complicated. It gets really, really hard. And we're living in a world that is the opposite of Eden. So the world is not going to point to your true value. God is going to do that. So we have to make sure that since we are misfits, we were not created to be here forever. We're foreigners in a foreign land. And sometimes, a lot of times, that land is not very hospitable to us. So I cannot derive my value from how the land treats me. Because I am an ambassador sent by someone far greater to come into this land and to bring the hope that is Jesus Christ. Darkness doesn't like light. So darkness is not going to be like, well, let's throw you a party. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Darkness is like, turn that off. It makes me uncomfortable and I don't like it. Please leave. And then that's when we have to go, look, this is all the power of Christ through me. This isn't me. The world is not attacking you. The world is attacking the light that's in you. But understand that you have been called to be a light bearer. That is your job. That is your task, because there's a God in heaven that loves you enough to give you that task, that trusts you with that, that loves you and says, hey, let's do this together. So when you are in an area where you don't feel like this is something that I can do, please understand that might mean you're in the right area, because God calls us into big things. He calls shepherd boys to fight giants. He calls a wheat thresher named Gideon into calling an army of 300 people to go after one of the biggest armies that we've known. This is what God does, and we get to be a part of it. As long as we do not devalue ourselves by saying, no, I can't do that because this is I don't see this as possible. I don't see how this can happen. I can't do that. Our weaknesses need to tell us, you on your own strength can't, but with God you can. And is God telling you to do this? If God is telling you to do this, then he will equip you to do this. God will not leave you high and dry. Because God's worth and value over you is derived from who he is and how he sees you, not what we can do. It is not performance based. And I can prove that because he was willing to pay for us before we ever knew how to love him. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God proves his own love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Your value was set before you could ever perceive yourself doing anything for God. that lets you know that your actions towards God are not equatable. That, like, you don't become more valuable because I'm doing more things for Jesus. You just love Jesus more. You open yourself up to God more, and he uses you more. Your value has been set before you were created. The toys on the island were not broken. They weren't on this island because, well, there's just something inherently wrong with them. Like, they were made wrong. They're like a broken piece that just needs to be fixed. They were just different. Right? And we see in the story that King Moonracer flies around the earth and he gets all these toys that are unwanted and not used, and he brings them back to his island and he says, you're going to be on this island. I'm going to protect you until we can find a suitable place for you, until we can find where you belong, until we can get you in a place that is going to use you and value you and see you as you truly are. The entire world is filled with people walking around trying to figure out their value. Every day. And they are looking at other flawed things and saying, is that value? Then I need to be that. Is that value? Because then I need to be that. And they're looking in a broken world at broken reflections of things, and they're saying, well, I guess I have to be that. As sons and daughters of Christ, we get to partake in the same action that King Moonracer does. We get to look out in the world and see some of these things, and it's like, hey, you don't feel like you belong because you don't belong there. That thing that you think is giving you value is not giving you value. It does not love you the way that God is going to love you. That does not speak to you the way that God is going to speak to you. That is not the life that God has called you into. He's called you into something greater. And God has placed us in church families. And he's saying, this is where the misfits go. This is where you can come home, where you can find the person that's going to operate you properly. When God starts to use you, you are in the hands of the ultimate creator. You are in the hands of the person that knows how to use you, knows what you were created for, and values you above all things. So that's what I'm going to end this with. Okay? If you want to know your true worth, go to the person that made you. Surround yourself with other people that know their worth and can point you to the Creator. When you are around other people during the holidays, any day that you're around other people, and they're just like, I just don't feel it. I don't know. It's different this year. I don't feel like I belong here. You can say, hey, I know somebody I would love to introduce you to. He's not really from here either. But he'd love for you to come home. And give these people these opportunities. And understand that your weaknesses might be the very thing that other people see and say, hey, I have that too. And instead of trying to hide that and be like, no, I say, okay, God, this is my weakness. And he says, here. Now other people are going to see it and they're going to be drawn to you because you've gone through the same things. And then my power is going to be able to move through that into people's lives. Know this, everything you give to God, he will use. Everything. We are loved by a God that does not let anything go for nothing. Every hardship, everything in you, even like when Paul said, I feel like it was a messenger from Satan coming at me. God says, you know what, we can still use that. We can still use that. Nothing has taken him by surprise. Nothing is like, oh man, that completely derailed my entire plan for you. He's like, nope, cool, let's use that. I'm strong enough. Nothing can derail God. Nothing can. And since your value was set before you were born, you're not derailing your value. But you can begin to understand your value even more based on how much you allow God to love you. So this week, we've got some amazing things coming up at church, right? We've got the Christmas choir. We've got the kids coming up doing stuff. This is going to be an amazing time. Invite your friends, invite your family to these things, because this is going to be an amazing time for the other misfits to get into a room and to be told that there's nothing wrong with you. You just need to be in the right place, because there's a God that loves you. So I'm going to pray, and then if we have any other announcements or anything, we can make them. Yeah. Dear God, thank you that you use us in spite of who we are. Thank you that our weaknesses do not scare you away. Thank you that you are stronger than anything that can come at me. Thank you that you want to use us, that you value us and you love us enough that you sent your son here to live a life we couldn't live, to show us how to do it, and to die a death that we should have died, to give us an opportunity to be your children. Thank you that still every single day you are calling us and you love us and you value us and you give us a purpose and you give us a task to carry your name in the world. God, help us to never forget our value. Help us to never lose who we are in you. God, when the voices around us are screaming that we don't belong, I pray that we would listen for your still small voice and know it so well, that no matter what anybody says, I know who I am. No matter what any voices tell me, I know where I'm called to and who my Father is. That does not change. No one can take away from me what you have given to me. God, we thank you and we love you. In your name, amen.